Well, we have been, friends, going through this psalm together, which has been most instructive and most devotional in nature. But it is a psalm that we can easily glance over. And one of the verses that can be easily glanced over is verse 6 that we will look at. Verses 6 and 7 are the scriptures for this evening. Again, we will only look at it at a glance, as it were, just gleaning a few thoughts from these verses. And I would strongly recommend that you would make this psalm a matter of study for yourself. But in verses 6 and 7, it speaks to us about what we are to be most concerned about. What is it that we are to be most concerned about? And verse 6 says, not your reputation, not what other people think of you. But verse 7 tells us that our thoughts must be in the Lord, is based upon the Lord. We are to be resting in the Lord at all times. We are to be holding on with patience upon Him and His ways in your life. And so there are two things I want us to think about. First of all, our reputation, and then secondly, from verse 7, our rest. So first of all, our reputation. Verse 6 of Psalm 37 says, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. This righteousness is the innocency, is the right living. It is the kind of conduct of the child of God, which has been in the dark. It has not been seen. And God is the one who brings it to light when people have misunderstood things. So it's a matter of personal reputation. The Lord is saying, be content, be quiet, and leave your vindication, leave your judgment with the judge of all the earth. That's what you should do. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. The more we fret in this case, the worse for us. Our strength is to sit still. That's where we get our strength from. To sit still, to not be concerned about our own reputation, our own name. The Lord will clear you when you are slandered, or when you are misunderstood, when you are mocked, when you are ridiculed. If we look to His honor, the honor of God, then He will look to our honor as well. He will see to yours. So what should we do? We should have a rock-solid faith in the Lord and not faith in ourselves, not faith in our name. Then any kind of snowball that is thrown at you, if you have that granite-like faith, it will fall off. It will melt away. If you throw mud at a marble wall, the mud will just roll down. That's it. It won't stick. And even in the most or worst cases, where a good name is for a while darkened, it's been blackened, providence of God will shine on it. And the Lord will clear things up. And that's what this psalm, this verse is saying. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Everyone will see it. And thy judgment as the noonday. Thy judgment as the noonday. So no shade of reproach will remain. The sun will be at its brightest at the noontime. And so God's judgment on the matter will shine brightly on your innocence. Have you tried to clear your name at times? You've been misunderstood. You have people are laughing at you, and you think, no, I need to clear that up. I need to make myself understood by people. And it's not an easy thing. When you've got a name, then it stays with you sometimes. When I was up in the north earlier on last week, somebody said something to me, somebody who had, I never met before, but he had heard about something of my character. And I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? How news goes about and how what people think of one. Should I be concerned about it? No. Should I give it much thought? No. Can I clear my name? Not by myself. Did I ever make the sun come up? Did I ever make it shine at the noonday? No. And that's what it's saying here. You can't clear your name. But it is God who brings out the sun. God is the one who gives it its power and the light. He is the one who causes the world to continue on. And so he will send forth the light. He will bring things to be known at last. He can clear your character from any kind of slander that may have blackened you. Now, people might have misunderstood you, yes. People might think ill of you, yes. People might even laugh and mock and by their looks, maybe. Something that you might say or do sincerely. People might speak behind your back. But what should you do? Cast your care on the Lord and don't become bitter. The Lord is seeing these things. The Lord hears these things. Leave your character with God, and it is safe there in God's hand. It is better to, as verse 5 says, to trust also in Him. Trust also in Him. So trust your character, your reputation, your name with God than with the best of your friends, the best of advisors. God is the avenger of all the righteous. There will be, as one put it, there will be a resurrection of reputations as well as of persons at the last great day. But what should we do? We commit our life to the Lord. So when someone raises an eyebrow, when someone smirks, when someone is mocking you, misunderstanding you, thinks evil, leave it with the Lord. Learn from it as well. You think about it. Have we ever mocked someone? Have we ever laughed at someone? Did we ever gossip about someone? Did we ever destroy someone's reputation before others? Did we do that? Of course, at different times in our lives, to our shame, we have done that. So, well, don't do that. Learn from that. Follow on with the Lord. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are commanded not to be popular with the world, not to be so concerned about what the world thinks of us. The world is worried about that. What others think of them. We are commanded to live by the principles of the Bible, the Word of God. And at times, when you live by that principle, that will cost you popularity. That will cost you success. And truth may cost more than lies. And oftentimes is the case, isn't it? And you see that in other people's lives and the way they would do things, the way they would respond to things. And you know that if you say the truth in this matter, it is going to take longer, it will be more complicated, it will cost more. But conviction may cost you more than simply convenience. Honestly, will cost you more than cheating and dishonesty. But you're leaving these things with the Lord. For now, when you look at the world, it is as if the world is winning and the Christians are losing. our reputation is not a good reputation. The world laughs at us. The Christian's name is blackened. The very term Christian was a term of mockery. To be called evangelicals is a term of mockery. To be called a Bible believer, we're called Bible bashers. And I've never met a Bible basher, really. And we need to remember this. We need to remember that those who wait on the Lord, as we read earlier on in verse 9, shall inherit the earth. God will see to it. When we do what is right, we gain the Lord's approval. You're looking for God's smile, not man's smile. So that is what verse 6 is in effect saying. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. But then look at verse 7. It speaks about another matter of consideration. Don't be so concerned about your reputation, but be more concerned about this. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And that's a command that is given. It is given in the imperative mode. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So a command is given. Either we are going to accept it and obey it and live it, or we can take it as a light thing. We can ignore it. We can rest in self. We can rest in things. But no, we are told to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Oh, how easy it is to preach on these things. How easy it is to hear these things. How hard it is to live it. Do not fret because of him who prospereth in his way, it says. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't fret. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way. Don't become agitated. Don't become grieved and angry at it because of him who prospereth in his way. Because of the man who is carrying out wicked things, wicked schemes and plans. So what should we do? Rest in the Lord. That's what God is commanding you to. That word rest here, it means to be silent, to be quiet. If you have a margin in your Bibles, the translators give us the literal rendering, be silent to the Lord. Keep quiet. Don't say anything. Rest in the Lord. So that's God's command. And it's not easy to do. And we need much grace to carry it out. To hush your spirit. That's what the meaning is. You hush your spirit. To be silent before the Lord. To wait in holy patience. This is a grace of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Patience, long-suffering. It's only the Christian has been given that Holy Spirit to be able to live like this. Patience is an amazing thing. The wording here is actually means someone who is going round and round. It is actually translated elsewhere as a dance, which is interesting. It's going round and round in one place, revolving in the same place. You wait. You wait. It's this holy patience. And the time you wait for that time, for clearing up the difficulties of providence. That is what every gracious heart would aim at. Waiting, I don't understand the thing fully, but the Lord knows. And so I'm willing to wait. I will wait and go round and round till the Lord reveals things to me. The scripture says, Aaron held his peace. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it, the psalmist says. So a silent tongue is required. The silent tongue, in many cases, not only shows a wise head, Spurgeon says, but a holy heart. What a word this is, rest. Just four letters, but the sweetest of all, rest. It means literally to be silent, to be dumb, or to stop. The Lord is saying, don't go any further. Fret no more. Don't carry your burdens anymore. How long will you carry it? Rest. Make this day a rest, a Sabbath to your soul. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Don't be in a hurry. One preacher, Philip Brooks by his name was, I believe, he was known to be a patient man. But one day he was stressed out about a matter and he was going round and round in his study and someone came in and said, what's wrong? He says, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. And that's the case. The Lord is not in a hurry. You might be in a hurry. You want something to be done, but God is not in a hurry. His plan and purposes are happening in His own time, in His own way, and that's why we are called here, encouraged, commanded. Wait patiently for Him. How hard it is. Don't be in a hurry. The Lord has infinite leisure, Spurgeon says. So partake of it as far as thou canst. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for Him. You know, time is nothing to God. And so, should it be something to us? In these matters that we are talking about, time is important. But in these things that we need to be waiting on the Lord patiently, we have to say, time will not matter. God knows when, and I will wait. And isn't God worth waiting for? Isn't it best to wait till it's the right time? Hasn't it been often the case that we have rushed into this thing or that thing? And we wanted something so desperately, and we have tried to do it, manipulate things, or try to fix something, or fix someone, or get somebody to do something for us. And we said, I have to act on this now. I have to put this pressure on this person now. And instead of giving ourselves to prayer, because prayer is called in the scriptures as a waiting upon God. As we know, God is never before His time, and He is never too late. And the Lord is working out His purposes. He's setting the scene for His purposes. When you begin a book, a storybook maybe, and you wait, don't you? You never start the book from the back, do you? You work it from the beginning, and you see the plot, and you're working at and waiting till it's all revealed. Someone is speaking to you about the situation, and you say, well, what happened at the end? That's all I'm interested in. No, you wait, and you listen to how things worked out. Well, we ought not to prejudge the great drama of life. But stay patiently until the closing scene, what the Lord will do, and see what God has planned and what He does. So, what should we do in this waiting? It means to set yourself to expect the Lord, expect Him. So you pray, you're waiting, you're praying, and you're expecting. And you are determined to expect Him. So prayer is part of that. You're determined to expect God to work. Is that your attitude? So we are to be resting. Resting in His sovereignty. Resting in His goodness. Resting in His grace. resting in his forgiveness, in his love, in his mercy, in his long suffering, resting in the fact that he's with you. And you're waiting patiently. And then it says, fret not thyself. And he's said this before, right at the beginning of the psalm, fret not, he said, thyself because of evildoers. And here's a repetition, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. There is no good, but much of evil in this world. And if you were to be worrying your heart about what's happening, the present success of the wicked and the evil that is happening and people plotting and scheming and doing things, planning to do things that are not godly. What happens if you are worried about that? Then what do we do in situations, both in our private lives, in our homes, in our families? When we are worried constantly, our judgments will be very premature. We make wrong judgments. And we think to ourselves afterwards, why did I worry so much? Why did I fear so much? Yes, this is happening. This is dishonoring to the Lord. But are you wearying yourself out? So determine. Let the wicked succeed as they may. But God will bring things to pass. God will reveal things at the end. They will not succeed altogether. Never allow a question to be raised in your mind, in your heart, of God's righteousness, God's goodness, when you see the wicked prosper. What if the plans of evil people and wicked situation, bad situations, what if they succeed? Why? What if things become worse and worse? And your own plans come to nothing. They're defeated. What if that happens? Has God lost? Has God's purposes come to nothing? No, never. It is better to be on the side of God and to know that the Lord is with us. Even in our defeats, even in things that we fall in and in the disappointments of life, there is more of the love of God in those situations than the success of the wicked. And it says, because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. These are the plans, the schemes, the system of this world that seeks to undermine the things of God. The world itself, the zeitgeist or the system in this world is not for God. We shouldn't be surprised when we see evil plans coming to pass. And you think to yourself, well, yes, these are all things that were written in the Bible. I'm not surprised by them. And I know that this earth is not my rest. As I was reading this, I thought to myself that the Christian's life is like that dove that Noah sent out. And in this world we go, we are flying and flapping and we become weary. We are tired. What should we do in this life? We must fly back to the ark. We should fly back and our Noah will catch us with his hand. We are safe there into that ark of the covenant of grace. We are resting in the Lord, this text is saying. And in saying so, it does, as it were, condemn all other pretended rest, or any other refuge that people take. It goes against all of that, condemns it all. And if you have been wondering, if you have been far away from the Lord, well, hear his voice. This is the voice of wisdom. And may you be saying, I need to return to God. I have been weary of flapping my wings in this world, and I'm not finding any rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Now, you and I often have to call people, and you're told to be on hold, don't you? And I'm sure that has been your experience. You call the utilities provider, you call a shop, you call your GP, and you ask for something, and they say, can you hold? And they say it so cheerfully. And before you know it, a music is playing that you don't like. And ever so often, this voice will come assuring you that your call is very important to them, that you're in a queue, and that you will be answered shortly. And so on. And you wait and you wait. And you think, well, I could have actually gone to the doctor myself by now. I could have gone to the shop and come back by now. And you feel forgotten. They don't really care. And you may hang up, as we have often done as well. And yet, spiritually speaking, sometimes it seems that God has put us on hold as well. And we pray, and we pray about a matter of extreme importance, urgent importance. But nothing happens. Nothing. What do we do? Do we hang up? Or do we hold on? You think about Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And I'm sure that's how Hannah felt. She was asking God for a baby. And childlessness, as you know, was a curse, or seen to be as a curse in her day. And to make it worse, her husband's other wife ridiculed her, and Hannah wanted desperately to give her husband a child. And she prayed about this matter deeply with pain and bitterness, yet year after year, she didn't conceive. Now, how can we reconcile the apparent silence of God to our repeated prayers? Remember that God's wisdom surpasses our own. What we are asking the Lord for may harm us. We don't know. But the Lord knows. We can't see the whole picture. Our timing is not God's timing. These are some of the things that you ought to be thinking. The Lord is on the throne. He sees all of these things. He's the bishop of my soul. He's the overseer of my soul. And so God may say to you, I've put you on hold. Don't grumble. I send you not worldly music. In the meantime, you're blessed as you wait on me. In the meantime, I will send you the melody of the gospel. I will be with you, and I will show you that my time is right, and my ways are right. You can trust me, the Lord says. You can trust your most cherished longings and desires to him, and then wait patiently for him to answer. So when God puts you on hold, don't hang up. How is that then with us? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. So, my friends, here we are. What a wonderful text. What a wonderful theme. I don't need to rest in my reputation. I am not to be concerned about it. The Lord has secured that, and he will bring it to pass. All I need to do day by day is to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I'm expecting him to be coming. I am not waiting for nothing, but we are waiting for the Lord. And he will come. He will visit. He will bless. So let us not say, God is not in a hurry. Let us say, I will wait. Amen.